Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God. My name is Pastor Marquise, and we are a non-denominational church led by the living and active Word of God in the heart of Seattle, Washington, by Pastors Harold and Annis Faye Franklin. Whether this is your first time, second time, be sure to subscribe and share this with those that need it. Now join me and be ready to live and learn from the Word of God.
Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear God, for this evening, dear God, that we happen to be here today. Dear God, we are excited, dear God, that you've allowed us to make it to this day, oh God. We thank you, dear God, that you are God and you are God alone. And dear God, we will glorify you today. I pray, dear God, that this word that you've placed in my spirit, dear God, even the parts that I forgot to write down, or God, that are missing right now, dear God, we pray that you would bring them to my remembrance, oh God, so that I can speak your word unhindered, dear God. And we pray to God that your word would change lives, oh God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. So, we are continuing in the What Do You Believe series. Amen. And it's been powerful. We've been talking about what do you believe about God. Is God a forgiving God? Is God a God up in heaven with a thunderbolt just waiting for you to mess up and throw it down at you? And, you know, like, there's a lot of beliefs that we have about God. And I think that as believers, it is always important for us to revisit what we believe and make sure it's scriptural, right? Because sometimes we get, and this is not a knock at traditions, but sometimes we get traditions and scriptures messed up, right? Like people say, cleanliness is next to godliness, right? Some people be like, hey, that's in the Bible. You know, like, or even just we make up so many different things that we might have heard people say over and over, and we can't even tell if that's scripture or is that what just somebody made up, right? So it's important for us to know the Word of God, to revisit the Word of God, and be able to formulate biblical beliefs about what we believe about the God we serve. Amen? So we talked about last week, we talked about the triune God, the breakdown of the triune God, which was in John chapter 14. Next time somebody says, hey, I don't believe in the triune God, you can clearly see each part of the triune God in John chapter 14. And that's not the only book, but that's the one that I went to. We also talked about God being a forgiver and in Psalms chapter 103. And as I went throughout this week, that book just kept coming up. Somebody would quote a scripture. I'd be like, hey, that was in Psalms 103. I would look at something. That's in Psalms 103. So I thank God for confirmation, even for me. Amen. That God's word is always confirming itself to me. Hallelujah. So we talked about the attributes of God. What does God do for us? And how do we respond to the things that he does for us? Amen. Also, we talked about God being a forgiver and in instructing us to be the same. Because we said, if you don't forgive, guess what? What happens? You won't. Come on, I need somebody that was here last week to help me out. If you don't forgive, guess what happens? You won't be forgiven. And I instructed some of you to go and ask or forgive some people. Or let some of the things that have hurt you don't harbor unforgiveness in your life. Amen? Because that will make you sick. Make you just, everything is just bad in your life. Amen. All right. We're going to go on to what do you believe about the gospel? All right. Now, see, this is very important in Christianity because this is the only, somebody say the only thing that separates Christianity from every other religion is the gospel message. Right. Every other religion is. And I don't want to knock these religions. Some of them don't know any better, right? But every other religion is, what can I do to make God happy, right? Christianity is, there's nothing I could do to make God happy. He's not happy with me until I get and accept his son, right? And walk in the path that his son laid out for me. Now God's happy. If I don't walk behind Jesus and I'm trying to do this on my own, God's not happy with me. So that's the difference. Because and let me say this too. In saying that, that doesn't mean Christians don't do good works. The Bible actually clarifies and says we should do good works, but we should only do good works in following after Christ. Amen. Not in laying a new pathway. Jesus said, go to down the middle. And I'm like, man, I'm just going to go to the left a little bit because I'm liking what I see over there in the left. No, God is saying you have to follow my son. He is the only way, the only truth and the light. And nobody can come to the Father except through me. Amen. But don't get it twisted and think just because we have grace and mercy, I don't have to do anything. That's the wrong mindset. Ty Tribbett said, we went to the concert yesterday and it was slamming. Man, oh my goodness. One thing he said was, God doesn't need your praise. What did he say? He deserves it. He deserves your praise. God doesn't need any of us, right? There's nothing in heaven that says, man, if I can just get Marquise, my kingdom is going to work exactly how it's supposed to work. God doesn't have that, right? But he says this, if Marquise lines up with my kingdom, which is already working, whoo, that could be powerful. And I want him. You guys remember the signs where Uncle Sam was like, I want you or something? What did it say? We want you. God wants you. Like, that's the powerful thing about God and the gospel that we have to remember. He wants you. The only reason he sent his son to die is because he wanted you. Amen? So the gospel is the main thing that separates Christianity from other religions. I'm so fed up with people telling me that Christianity and this other religion is the same. It's not. Now, sometimes when people say that, I don't feel like getting in this huge debate with some people, right? Where they be like, it's really the same. And it's like, I just be like, shake my head. No, it's not. Christianity is not the same. That's a disrespect to what Jesus did. That's a ultimate disrespect to the works of God. Amen. So we got to remember that this is what separates us. And look, we're going to go to my first scripture. And like I said, bear with me. Some of my notes, I typed them on my computer at my office, and for some reason they didn't sync up. So I do have some of my scriptures, but I'm going to be looking for some of them while I'm up here. Amen. Luke 23:32. Let's go to Luke chapter 23, starting at verse 32. Now, this scripture portrays the gospel quickly. All right? Because at this point in time, Jesus didn't have that much time. When you got to say word. All right, word up. Let's get it. It says, there were also two other criminals. Let me give you a little backdrop. This is Jesus headed to his death on the cross, okay? That's enough backdrop. Now here goes. There were also two other criminals led with him to be put to death. Now it doesn't say other criminals. It says two others. And then it says criminals because Jesus was not a criminal, okay? Just want to put it out there like that. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals. See, it makes that distinction again. And one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. All right. Now, this is the key thing of the gospel. We talked about last week, God is a forgiving God. But what Jesus did was to forgive people. Right. I've been to church services before where they talk about the last words of Jesus. These were some of the last words that Jesus had. He could have just been quiet the whole time, but he chose to say this. And in saying this, he displays the gospel to one of these criminals. All right. Let's see it. It says, and they divided his garments and cast lots, and the people stood looking on. But even the rulers with them sneered, saying, he saved others, let him save himself if he is the Christ, the chosen of God. Now, listen, we have people today that say that exact same thing. Right? Oh, man, God, if God can really save, then how come he ain't saving Joe Blow? Right? Or he ain't saving Sally Sue? I don't know why we always use those names. But anyway, why can't he save them? Right? Even Christians get this mindset. How come God can't? Listen, the Bible clearly says there's nothing that God can't do. It said all things are possible to them who believe. And then it says, he asked, what is impossible for me? Right? He asked, was that Abraham? There's nothing impossible for me. So anything is possible with God. Now, let me give you a secret. Sometimes the problem with why this person ain't getting saved is because we haven't shared the gospel. We haven't shared the gospel in word and deed. Amen. If we want to see people get saved, and I'm not saying it's always on us, they still have to accept this thing, right? But when people start jeering about it, guess what? God's about to do something. Because even in the midst of this, these people saying, oh, he can't save nobody. Guess what Jesus does? Let's see what he does. It says, the soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine and saying, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. And an inscription also was written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. They just wanted to make sure everybody can read it, right? Said, this is the king of the Jews. Then one of the criminals, listen to this right here, who were hanged, blasphemed him, saying, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us. Okay, so now this dude is dying on the cross, right? And he's like, okay, if you think you God, then won't you save yourself? But then don't forget about us, though. You know, I'm trying to get out of here. Got some more places to rob. I got some more. This is what the criminal's mindset was. All right? But the other, somebody say the other. Come on, say it like you mean it. The other. The other answering rebuked him, saying, do you not even fear God? Somebody say God. Seeing you are under the same condemnation. And we indeed justly. So he's saying, look, I'm getting what I deserve. Now, some of us, we don't admit that we're getting what we deserve. When we were in sin, you're going to get what you deserve. Outside the covering of God. But see, even outside the covering of walking in God, he still have his grace and mercy, because the word of God says his love and mercy and kindness reigns on the just and the unjust. Amen. But we see that this guy is saying, hey, we're in the same boat. We're all going to die. And you don't even fear God. And when he's saying God, who is he talking about in this sense? We'll see. Because it clearly says, that's the great thing about the Bible. Sometimes if you don't understand the Bible, read the next verse. And then the verse after it, don't just come up with a conclusion off of one scripture. Okay? Says, verse 40. But the other answered, rebuking him, saying, do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this capital man has done nothing wrong. All right. So he is respecting him in this sense. Then he says to Jesus, Lord. OK, so look, he talked about God. Then he said he calls him Lord. All right, we're talking about the gospel in this sense right here. We see that on the cross, he says, look, I'm guilty, but Lord, because remember, Jesus said, forgive them, for they know not what they do, right? So one criminal did not accept his forgiveness right there. All he had to do was be like, man, thank you, Jesus, you forgave me. I want to be with you. The second one, since the first one blasphemed Christ and said, oh, man, how you going to forgive? You ain't forgiven nothing. I ain't off this cross yet. Because, see, look, check this out. He was looking for a natural saving. Now, I will say the gospel can help save you in the natural. But what the gospel really does is save you in the spiritual. Amen. Because when Adam and Eve died, it was a spiritual death. It wasn't a natural. Well, they did die a natural death later, like about 900 and I don't know how many years later. Man, just imagine that. You know, this is my side notes. I have wonderful side notes. Imagine 900 years. Imagine how many houses Adam built. You know, like how many automobiles without an engine that he made. You know, you just got to think 900 years to come up with, like, because you got to remember, he had the mind of God, right? Adam was created in the image of God. He was given instruction to do certain things. What did Adam do after all that stuff? Like, we don't know, but it would be interesting. That's one of the things we got to ask in heaven. Adam, man, you was on earth for like 900 years. Like, what did you do? What did you fill your time with? Because there wasn't no TV. That's the number one time waster, right? It wasn't no TV. It wasn't no YouTube. You know, it was just like, man, you had a lot of time. And I wonder what the weather was like, too. I mean, he had Hawaii weather all year round, except for he had to till the ground. So that might not have been that good, right? He was sweating. Anyway, he said in verse 32, then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. All right. And Jesus said, assuredly, I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise. This story, and we don't know how long that took, but Jesus wasn't on that cross that long, right? It said he had died a lot faster than normal people die, because the other ones, what did they do to them? They had to break their legs and everything like that to help suffocate them a little bit more. Jesus died and his legs weren't broken. Why? Because the Bible prophesied that no bone in his body would be broken. See, this is the power of the Bible. I ain't even talked about prophecies yet. But if you see how the Word of God lines up so many different prophecies and stuff like, I'm going to get to that later. But that's the power of God's Word. That's why we're not following some fable or some made up story. This is the gospel, and Jesus saves us if we accept his forgiveness and say, I want to be with you. Amen. After this criminal died, it wasn't nothing he did. Some people will look at his life and be like, man, he didn't do nothing. They're going to be in, hey, who are you? You're going to get to heaven. Who are you? Oh, it's the guy praising the hardest. Why? Because he was a criminal his whole life until God set him free right before he died. Amen. And remember that Jesus said that the one with the most sin is going to be what? Most grateful, because Jesus erased more sin from him. Now, don't get that twisted, right? Some people will take that and be like, I got to stack my sins up so I can have a heavy praise, right? It's not what we're talking about, right? Because you got enough already. And don't get into no stacking sin game, because sin will defeat you. Sin is not a game. But thank God that the gospel of Jesus Christ is that he came, died to set us free from the snares and death of sin. Amen. So the gospel is simple. Admit you are a sinner. This is key. Admitting we are sinners. Now, that's for some people, that's hard. Right? I remember, Michael, you went to some of the same stuff we went through. We talked about secular humanism. You remember that at school? We talked about secular humanism. What secular humanism was and is, and how it lives today, is I determine what's right or what's wrong. Right? So if I don't say it's right, it ain't right. But that doesn't take place in your life. Like, what's right to you might not be right to me. Right? And then they say there's no absolute truths. Right. When you say there's no absolute truth, that statement can't even stand up, because you're saying that's an absolute truth, but it's that's absolutely not. Right. You can't do that. Like, this is the thing. But the world doesn't care about that kind of stuff. If you break down all these things that the world comes up with to say I am not wrong, it's just ridiculous. We live in a day and age where mindsets are being controlled by substance abuse, right? Name the substance, they taking it. Man, I ain't even gonna say that. But people get high off all kind of stuff. High off all kind of stuff to alter their mind, right? I mean, like, I don't know what to say what they do. It's so crazy. Like, you be like, where did they get that from? But what they're trying to do is they're trying to justify everything they do. If you try to justify your sin, you will never be forgiven. That's a quick way to not accept the gospel of Jesus Christ, to just justify everything you do, to think everything you do is right. Right. And the scary thing is when, quote unquote, Christians start justifying their sin, saying, oh, that's OK. You know, God, we need to upgrade the Bible a little bit, man. You know, it was written back in the day, you know, but we have to remember that God's word is God's word. God doesn't have time. That's the crazy thing about God. There's no such thing as time with God. So when he speaks a word, this is why the word of God is living and active, because God is living and active. He haven't died. He's not a man that he should lie, nor a man that he should die or repent. I'm sorry. Oh, that's a rhyme. I'm sorry. But we have to accept and admit, first of all, that we are sinners. Amen. So we're going to talk about admitting that we are sinners in Romans chapter 3. I could have just went to 3:23, but we're going to start at verse 9. Romans chapter 3, verse 9. Kind of like how Paul says some things. He'd be like, what then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin. All right. So as we get started, the Bible, all really a lot of times when they use Jews and Greeks, it meant everybody. OK. Why did they use that vernacular? Because the Greeks pretty much ruled the earth. Right. And a lot of people would be like, instead of I'm a Greek, they would try to become Greeks. So anyway, it says, as it was written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is no one who understands. There is none who seeks after God. And this is a prophecy that Paul was reading, okay? It says, they have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. All right? And this is talking about us. We are all included in this. It says, their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues, they have practiced deceit. The poisons of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursings and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their way. I'm sorry, in their ways. In the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. All right, so it's pretty bleak. You read that scripture and it's just like, man. Anybody ever went to a classroom and the teacher was grading a test and he was like, everybody did bad. Everybody ugly. Right? It just, you got a zero, like that classroom is silent, right? Because everybody failed. Even if they curved it, we all failed, right? That's what it was like when you read that passage. Everybody was a failure. And I tell you this, I think the worst thing in life is to be a failure. I don't care what it is. If the worst thing is to be a failure in life, you might fail a few class grades. Don't fail in classes, but you might fail at a test maybe once or twice. But man, if you get whooped after that, you won't fail again. Right? Because, I mean, and why do parents do that? Because a fail is so drastic. A lot of times parents do that because they don't want their children to fail, because it almost represents them. right? In a sense, it does. Like, if my kids fail at something, sometimes I'll be like, man, did I not do a good enough job and teach them that? Like, what did I? So what I do, I work harder so that they don't fail at that again. Right now, when they're adults, then it's kind of like, well, I don't know. Some parents have midlife crisis after that. But anyway, it's failing is just one of the worst things. And what that scripture said is we all failed. Verse 19 says, now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. So not only did we fail, we were all guilty, right? We watch TV shows where they're in court and they got the jury. They've been out for 3 hours trying to figure out, is this man innocent or guilty? And they come back and the judge says, what is your verdict? Now, let me just give you a quick glimpse real quick. When you get to heaven, there ain't going to be no jury. All right? Because our judge is a righteous judge. Right? And I'm not taking knocks at any judges. I know my dad's a lawyer. Don't go in there quoting, God is a righteous judge if we could just get more people like him. Right? But as a righteous judge, there's not going to be a jury. But when that jury gives you that verdict, you ever watch those movies and they say guilty and everybody's like, oh, right? Because most of the time when they do it in movies, that person's going to the electric chamber or something. It's just bad, right? They're getting immediate judgment. Now, see, our guilt doesn't get immediate judgment. And that's why people sin. Right? Immediate judgment is I jaywalked and I got hit by a car, but there was no car there. Right? It's like Roadrunner. You guys, you know, a Roadrunner, he's like, I'm about to cross the street, and it say, do not cross, and he crossed and bam, just get ran over. That's immediate judgment. Now see, some of us, we can run across the street, nothing happened. Oh man, oh God, I did it. You know, and I'm just talking about little things right now. But we run across the street, get away with it, and we're like, yeah, I can do that again. Right? And some kids, they don't get away with it. Some grown-ups don't get away with it. But all judgment, especially the judgment of God, is not immediate. And the scary thing is he's holding that judgment back. Check it out. Anybody ever shot something? The further you pull that thing back, the worse it's going to get, right? You ever, you know, like if you got a slingshot or a big slingshot, let's say I had a slingshot right here and you stood right there. Stand right there, Precious. Right, if I did it a little bit, it might just fall right there, right? And that's how we think, oh, my sin is not going to be that bad. It's going to barely. But when you continue to walk in the ways of sin, we're just pulling it back. And then it's, and you're gone. Amen. Thank you. Give Precious a hand. But when you keep walking in sin, what happens is the wrath is being held back. And what's crazy is if you read in the book of Revelations, it talks about the wrath of God being full and he has to pour it out. And that's a scary thing. And when you read it after that, there's people wishing they could die. Imagine people witnessing. Now, we do have some people that wish or try to kill themselves. But the Bible said they will try to kill themselves and it won't work. That's crazy. It says they're going to throw rocks on themselves. Right? I don't know if they shooting themselves. It's just, you're not going to die at that point. Because the wrath of God has to be fulfilled. But thank God, the only way we can get out of that wrath is by accepting Jesus. Amen? It says in verse 20, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. Flesh is us. None of us will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, somebody say, but now. Man, it was really dark and gloomy. Looked like a storm was coming. But the word of God, when it has a word, but and now, it's like this is already ready for us. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed. Somebody say revealed. So when anybody seen like something that's revealed, you've been waiting for it. Christmas, we get those presents and we see them wrapped up. But when they're revealed, we're like, yes, that's exactly what I wanted. I wanted one of those. You know, when we were kids, that's how we were, right? Now, when we open it now and it be something, we're just like, oh, that's cool. We might be like, oh, yeah. Yeah, I ain't saying what I got. The law is revealed, being witnesses by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Christ to all and on all who believe. All right. For there is no difference. Now look, we live in a day and age where some people say the gospel is only for certain people. But that scripture clearly says to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. Right? So next time somebody tells you the gospel is only for a certain person, this is where the scripture is, so you can tell them, hey, it's for everybody. And we can back it up with another scripture if we need to. Right? But we have to know this, because today many people are twisting the Bible to meet their own needs. There's many people that don't believe the Bible and they're just fulfilling their own destiny and their own needs. But we have to know what it says. It says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Okay? So we are justified, which means to be made right. By what? By his grace in Christ Jesus. All right. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of one who has faith in Jesus. Now, this is interesting, because you would look at this and say, man, some of the people that came before Jesus got forgiven of their sins, right? But it said those that have faith in God, right? Some people have faith in God even before Jesus was sent, and they were forgiven. Now, some people that's when they, well, what about this man? And what about, look, we ain't got time to find that out. We'll find out one day. You know, like, you know, I always say Solomon was an interesting character. Solomon started good. We don't know how he ended, though. Right? I pray that it ended well for him. Especially if he wrote Ecclesiastes after all that drama in his life, he might have been all right, right? But Solomon is one of those characters. It's just like, man, did he make it in? And we don't want to be that kind of character. Start off good, running good. Oh, yeah, I'm running. God save me. Yeah. See, this is the thing about the gospel. The gospel will change your life. If the gospel don't change your life, check it out. If you get saved, you change. You, it's almost like you really don't change, but you put on a change, you put on a mask, you put on the right clothes, you go and you jump with all the church people and act like it. And then 3 months later, you back to what you did. You didn't change. The gospel changes you. Amen. Thank God. God just gave me the verse I was looking for. Romans chapter 1:16. And all the Christian rappers know this, Romans 1:16. It says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Now, look, we just said earlier, is it only for a certain group of people? No, it's for everyone who believes. For the Jews first and also for the Greek. It's got the same thing, right? It says, for in it, and this is the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. So as you get saved, you live by faith. You no longer live by, I gotta go do something on my own. I feel like doing this. You feel like doing that. Just go do what you feel like doing. No, we live by faith. And the Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. It said Abraham was justified by his faith, right? Your faith will change your life. The gospel changes your life, but the faith will help you carry out that change. Amen? Because what happens is a lot of people get saved, give their life to God. They see the things they have to give up, right? And it looks bleak. It looks bad. I gave up 5 of my closest friends so I can be with God, right? And now they're calling, hey, man, what's up? Man, I don't do that no more. The first 5 weeks, you're good. I don't do that no more. Nah, bro, I can't. You want to come to church? You don't want to? Okay. You're seeing the conflict. Seeing the conflict of the relationship. You're seeing the conflict of walking in the spirit and walking in the flesh. But how many of you know that even when you see the conflict, if you have faith that God is going to make everything all right, he's going to take care of me, you can stay in this thing, right? That's pretty much I think that's one of the hardest things people have to deal with is understanding that somebody's going to reject me for accepting the gospel, right? And we will, unfortunately, many of us take the immediate rejection harder than we would take if God was going to reject us, right? If God rejects you, it's over. Like, if my best friend rejects me, we might have a reconciliation down the road, right? We have to pray for them. Continue to pray for them. You might pray for years, but God can rebuild that. But if you get rejected by God, it's over. It's done. You're about to be done. Not well done either. Crispy done. Right? But we have to have faith that God, accepting God, living out his word, he's going to take care of us. And even if it comes to us not seeing him taking care of us on this earth, having faith that he will take care of what he said his word was, where we'll be with him in paradise. Where the Bible says he's made up mansions for us, and he says, if it wasn't true, I wouldn't have told you it was. How many of you guys know we see these people dying in ISIS and all that? There was a radical Muslim that killed somebody like that in Ohio. Cut his head off at the job. They're trying to say it was a work crime instead of a terrorist crime. You tell me what that is, right? We don't look like that kind of stuff. You can't tell somebody that it's going to get better tomorrow because there might not be a tomorrow. But we have to keep our eyes focused on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. Who is able to keep us. You got to believe that Jesus died for your sins. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We have to believe that Jesus died for our sins. Right? And not, then it says in Romans 5, chapter 8, while we were, that's my other passage. Thank you, Lord. Like I said, I had some of my notes not make it. You got that, Romans chapter 5, verse 8. And it's going to be around verse 8, so I'm going to tell you exactly what it is in a second. We're going to start at verse 6. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Guess what? We were all the ungodly. For scarcely, it says, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners. All right. We talked about you got to admit that you're a sinner, but believe that Jesus Christ died for us. As it says, as we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. All right. Now, this is almost recapping some of the stuff I said earlier. For if when we were enemies with, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So not only did it say that we were sinners, it said we were his enemy. Sin is always an enemy to God. That's a message right there. You could preach on sin being the enemy, because sometimes sin, especially in the day we live in, looks like, hey, man, they having a good time, right? You turn on the TV, you see an alcohol commercial, everybody's having fun. And then you realize, then we realize it's an alcohol commercial, we turn the channel. What is that? What are they trying to say? Get drunk, you have fun, right? You lust after this woman, you get a nice car. Right, like these are the commercials that we see, and if we're not careful, we get sucked into those things. Right? Sin is not a friend of God. It don't matter how good that person that you're about to sin with looks, right? You still kissing the devil. Right? And I don't mean they could be saved, but you understand. You got to understand what I'm saying. That's what sin does. Sin looks good. Talks about sin looks good. The apple looked good, but it was death. And death was the opposite of God, who was the life giver. It said when Adam and Eve were, he breathed into both of them, right? The breath of life. That apple sucked out the breath of life. So we have to remember, we were enemies towards God. But he died for us still while we were enemies. It said we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. We have already received the salvation. Now we are walking out sanctification, right? And what is some people, he's throwing all these S words out. Salvation is we have been saved. That's the easy word for salvation. Sanctified or sanctification is almost like being cleaned as you go, right? Being cleaned up, being cleaned. And we will never, listen up, we will never be fully sanctified until we are in heaven. Guess what? That means the gospel is constantly at work in all of us. If you think you've been saved for 30, 40, 50 years, and all, you just can just chill, be like, man, I lived a good life. Now I can just recline back. No, the gospel should still be convicting you on some things. Right? Maybe it's not, I mean, you ain't out kicking it at 70 years old. You ain't, you know, I was going to act like a 70-year-old. But you might not be doing the same things you once used to do, but how many of you know that your mind still works, right? Everybody's seen a show where the old men are, you know what I'm saying, they got nasty minds. Why? Because they haven't let that mind be sanctified in Christ. And your mind is something that has to be renewed how many times? Daily. And not only daily, hourly, minutely, secondly, if those are words. Every millisecond, your mind has to be renewed. But this is what we have to remember about the gospel. You got to admit that you're a sinner, accept Christ dying for you. And then we have to confess your sins. Now, this confession of sins doesn't mean you go get on TV, don't get on Facebook and say, I did this, right? That's not what this is talking about, right? You might have to confess your sins to, first of all, you have to confess them to the Lord. Say, God, I'm having issues with this. This is something that I've dealt with my whole life. I need your help to help me with this, right? Because admitting that you're a sinner is not always the same as confessing your sins. See, a lot of people admit they're sinners, but they're not confessing their sins. And when you confess your sins, you're confessing them so that you can stop sinning, right? When somebody confesses, I know we've been talking about a lot of stuff in court today, but when somebody confesses, what are they doing? They're trying to give a statement to help shed truth on the matter, where they should be, right? So we confess because a lot of times, if we are walking in sin, we don't want to confess it, right? We don't want to confess that we're wrong. We don't want to confess that we've done this. We don't want to confess that we've done that. Because if we don't confess it, it still has a hold on us. We're still trapped in whatever we don't confess to the Lord. We have to confess our sins to the Lord. And after that, commit your life to the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. He's giving me these scriptures. Luke 10:9-10. Ah, oh, man, that's the wrong one. The other scripture that I have for this was, each one must take up his cross, deny himself, and follow after Christ. Amen? We must follow after Christ. After getting saved, we follow after him. After accepting him, admitting that we're sinners, believing that he died for our sins, confessing our sins, we have to commit our ways to the Lord. Amen. And that is really what we got to do. That's what I wanted to talk about the gospel today, so that we can just know the gospel a little bit more. Sometimes if somebody asks you, hey, what's the gospel? We got a question. What is the gospel? Right? Have you ever had that happen? Somebody says, what's the gospel? What's the gospel? How do I get these people saved? What happens is, if you don't rehearse what the gospel is, you'll forget what the gospel is. You've been saved. You know what it is because you've seen it in your life. But if it's trying to help somebody else get saved, you're like, man, did we do all the steps? Right? We got to make sure we do all the steps. And we follow the word of God. So if you have to go and say, hey, man, somebody wants to give their life. If you guys got people at your job, they want to give their life. They need to, they have to admit they're sinners. Believe that Jesus died for their sins, confess their sins, and follow after God. Amen? And when they do that, that is the gospel. The follow part is the key, because a lot of people believe that he died. They might even confess their sins, but they don't follow. They continue to follow in their old ways. But the gospel will change your life. Amen? That's how you know if you've been saved or not. And I'm not going to say you're not going to struggle. There is still struggle, right? But if you keep on doing your old ways, something didn't happen, right? You have to walk this thing out. I always get in conversation with, people that say, does the altar call work? Yeah, the altar call works for those that take what they heard at the altar and take it home with them. I'm not talking about the sin they left on the altar. Like some people, I confess that I had this, and I need to take that home with me. Right, that ain't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when you accept God And this is why we have to be sure as leaders in the ministry, when we tell somebody that they are saved, now I always tell them, now this is not it. Now it is you walking out what you believe just happened daily. Amen. You got saved, you said the prayer, cool. But you have to walk it out. And God will give you the grace to walk it out. In faith, you have to continue to trust. Amen. Somebody praise the Lord. Give God a hand. Amen.
Thank you for spending time with us here at New Creation Christian Center. Feel free to join our worship services on Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington, 98118. Visit our website, newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.